Again, we will take a closer look at what is going on in the Eastern European countries. And we will now talk to two people who were who are a member of the group of members of the European Parliament who are very outspoken against these measures. One is Mr. Christian Teres from Romania, and the other one is Ivan Vilibor Sinčić from Croatia. It is a great pleasure to have you on our Corona committee. We have spoken before, and we're very honored and happy to have you on board. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Very well.
Thank you so much for having us.
Very good. Thank you.
An honor to be here, indeed.
Thank you, Mr. Sinčić. Thank you, Mr. Teres. Tell us about what is it about? What are you doing with your proclamation in the European Parliament? Are you being attacked for this, or are you getting positive responses? Let me know.
Well, we are a group of MEPs, of MEPs, members of the European Parliament. There are getting together now, that are allying together. We are members of different groups, of different political groups, from the left to the right spectrum of the parliament. And we pretty much share the same common goal, to restore freedom, liberty, and democracy in the European Union. And this is the reason why we gather together and we try to commonly, I would say, work and fight to pretty much restore the liberty for the people. And we had two press conferences, one in Strasbourg, one in Brussels, in the European Parliament, where we exposed some of these issues, you know, the issues related to the lack of transparency in regards to the contracts of vaccination signed between these pharma companies and the European Commission, issues related to different restrictions, I would say, that are imposed in different countries. And in our case, since we are not vaccinated, we have some issues, you know, entering the building of the parliament. And in the last 2 weeks, we refused to comply with the decision of the Bureau of the European Parliament that stated that only those that provide a QR code or proof of testing or vaccination are allowed to enter the parliament and represent the people. So, I mean, such a decision, it's clearly an abusive one. The violates the Treaty of the European Union, and we are just holding our ground and, you know, refusing to comply with that. So, at least in my case, I already entered the parliament like 6 or 7 times already without showing anything. We have to argue with the guards all the time, but, you know, we refuse to comply with that order. Going forward, we will do other activities, you know, use all the tools at our disposal as MEPs to fight for the restore of freedom and liberty in Europe. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
I'm sure my colleague Ivan can add more.
Yes, we have been working on this for some months, and on the 3rd of November, Europe will remember that day as a black day. European Parliament will remember that day as a black day. They implemented the digital green certificates as a condition for entering the buildings of European Parliament. So we are opposing that on all levels. We have attempts of entering in, like Mr. Terhes said, using civil disobedience. We simply say you don't have any authority over us. This is against human rights, against civil liberties, against fundamental rights. It's simply wrong. It's also against the Treaty of the European Union and many other lesser treaties. Besides this, we also made lawsuits, which are now in Luxembourg at the European Court of Justice. Mm-hmm. So we are working on the legal dimension and also on media dimension. We are making press conferences. We are trying to rally as much MEPs as possible because we need the numbers, of course. And I'm very happy to see that more and more MEPs are making contact with us, with our group, and that we are growing in numbers. And I expect this to follow. When I personally started to publicly speak about this some year ago, I saw that many things are wrong, that they're simply illogical. Those were very hard times, but now I'm very optimistic because there are more and more people. I only met Christian some 2 months ago, and it was really a turning point regarding European Parliament and the members of European Parliament in standing against everything that is wrong in this crisis. This is not an issue of left and right, like Christian said. This is an issue of right and wrong.
And the support that you see, like within the parliament, is that coming from? Do you see that's coming from specific countries more, or is it like everywhere there are good people who see that, you know, something needs to be done?
I wouldn't say it's coming from specific countries. It's coming from all around Europe, from basically all countries. You could, of course, expect that the bigger countries with larger populations, such as France, have, of course, more MEPs who are willing to support our campaign, and while others, smaller, it's harder to find somebody among them. Mm-hmm. It's easier to find five MEPs among 70 than five among 8 or 10. Mm-hmm.
Here's something that maybe you don't know yet. We have a legal investigator who took a closer look at the contract. There's only one contract. And at the powers of attorney. This is what he found out. There's four contracts, I think, but only between the makers of the vaccine and the European Union, as represented by its commissioner of health, I believe. That's her. There's only one contract for each of these companies. There are no individual contracts between the makers of the vaccines, the producers, and the individual member states of the European Union. There are only powers of attorney that may not even have been signed by the individual countries with the European Union. If this pans out, if we find out that this is really true, this is a preliminary finding, then there is no obligation between the individual member states on the one hand and the makers of the vaccines. Then the only people who are going to be liable are those who signed the contract on behalf of the European Union, including, of course, the head of the European Union, Mrs. von der Leyen. She's going to be held responsible. And as we have just learned from India, sooner or later, justice will strike back. Sooner or later, they will be held responsible. There's another thing that we found out, or that our investigator found out, and that is that even if the powers of attorney were signed by people from the individual member states of the European Union, it is still whatever the European Union signed on behalf of the member states is ultra vires. They went far beyond what was allowed for them to be done through the powers of attorney. One of the things that they really went far beyond is that they promised in their individual contracts with the makers, four makers of the vaccines, they promised them total indemnity. And that is explicitly excluded in the powers of attorney. So they went ultra vires, meaning they have no basis for any agreement that they made with the vaccine makers, no basis for any agreement to include the member states. But we will take a closer look. This is just a preliminary finding. I just wanted to tell you this so that maybe you and your people can also take a closer look.
Thank you very much. This is extremely interesting. It is very hard to get anything from the Commission. Of course, there are some leaks of the contracts, but you can never be really sure, are those the real contracts with everything that is inside, with everything that was in the original deal? Mm-hmm. We need the contracts officially, and the Commission must provide that to us. So we are working on that as well. Regarding what you said, some months ago, I sent a question for written answer towards the Commission. The question was about responsibility. If there are side effects, who is responsible? It was a very simple question. And they said, well, there is a directive of products in European Union, and all these cases will be considered under this directive of products. So if you make a bad medical product, there is a directive of European Union, and it should be used in legal cases. But the answer was, in a way, ambiguous. It was not a clear answer. So I submitted new one for further explanation.
But there's a problem with this directive, because the one who files the suit has to prove that the product was bad. Mm-hmm. So on one side, the government is forcing you to take a vaccine. And in the case you have a side effect, then you have to prove that the side effect is from the vaccine. So the burden of proof is reversed.
Yeah.
Instead of, so on one side you have a private company that has all the power apparently in the world. I mean, I'm not exaggerating what I'm saying that, because seeing these puppets as politicians, bowing before a company, and governments that are passing laws and parliaments imposing this product on people. Now,
we are losing you a bit.
You're frozen, Christian. But this is really important, because if there is a duty to get vaccinated, this always coincides with no-fault liability. Always. If you force people to take a vaccine, which isn't even a vaccine and which hasn't even been fully approved, then those who force you, the governments who force you to do this, will have to make it possible for you to go after those who damaged your health without you having to prove that it was the vaccine that caused the damage.
That's logical. This is how it should work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I want to
see
add
many
some
anomalies in this.
I want to add. Can you hear me?
Yes. Now yes, we can hear you.
I'm in a place where the internet connection is either not that good or someone is interfering with it. But anyway. Mm-hmm. Here's something else. I requested from the Romanian government to provide me, as an MEP, copies of all the contracts signed by Romania with this pharma company. And the official answer was that they haven't signed anything. All the contracts were signed by the European Commission. What this investigator of yours found out, this seems to be true. So if there are any people from other countries listening to this, they could request from their governments to provide them copies of the contracts signed by those governments, and that we could see exactly who signed this and who's imposing these on people. I mean, we will move forward as Ivan said, with this action, I would say, to make sure that the contracts are fully disclosed, so all the Europeans will know exactly what the governments are imposing on them. But
I wouldn't be surprised if there are no signed powers of attorney. All the individual member states only have powers of attorney for the European Union to sign the contract with the producers on their behalf. But our investigators said there are no signatures. I wouldn't be surprised if there really are no signatures, because who wants to be held responsible for getting your country into such a very hot spot? But then again, even if there are signatures in the end, I don't think there are any, but even if there are signatures, what they did in the actual agreements, the actual contracts between the European Union and the makers of the vaccine goes far beyond what they could have done, because the powers of attorney explicitly state, for example, there cannot be any indemnity. These indemnification regulations are not to be entered into by the European Union on behalf of the member states. So for two reasons, this is probably completely illegal.
Well, this we should do more research on this.
Why we need the contracts and see exactly, you know, what is going on.
And the powers of attorney, too.
Of course.
With regards to these contracts, to have knowledge if they if it was offered to the to, you know, to someone in the European Parliament or someone, you know, to read through this like behind closed doors, not taking photos for 2 minutes or something, you know, like this kind of procedure that they used to have with others, like the TTIP thing.
And no, this is not possible.
Okay.
I'm telling you why, because I have an official answer from the Parliament. I'm telling you why this is not possible. Because these contracts are not classified according to the law. There's no level of classification called confidential. There's no such classification at the level of the European Union. So such documents that are called, let's say, just confidential, they cannot be received by this security unit inside of the European Parliament so we could go and read them. This is the reason why nobody in the Parliament actually saw the full version of these contracts. Yeah. They just saw the redacted version, as you know, as we all saw.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, because people have to vote on this green certificate, on the, you know, mandatory vaccination, on all these things. But they are pretty much kept in blind. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw the contract, so how can they vote on these things without knowing the content of these contracts?
It was extremely hard to even get the redacted versions, you know?
Yes.
About a year ago, they completely ignored the requests, and then under much pressure, they finally allowed, I believe we in ENVI Committee for Environment, Public Health and Food Safety, were among the first to be allowed, but you would only see the contracts for a short amount of time, and you could take no pictures, you couldn't scan, and of course you must not say anything anywhere to anyone about this. So it's ridiculous. It is simply ridiculous, and this is not, it's very far from transparency, to say the least.
Yeah.
I mean, this shows the whole, to me, this shows the whole scope, you know, because it's something that is, you know, shy to see the light of day, because, you know, it's strange, because if it was like a legitimate contract, you know, like taking into account like, okay, the interest of the company who's making, like doing some experimental thing, but then also the interest of the European people, then this could be a contract that's presented to everyone. So you can, I mean, already that procedure shows that it's really fishy.
Of course, we vote on the budget of the European Union, but yeah, we don't know what are we voting about. We have absolutely no information besides what von der Leyen and Kyriakides and people from the Commission told us. But this is not enough. It shouldn't be enough for members of European Parliament in such a special, important issue. It shouldn't be enough for them to make a decision. We need all the data to make an informed decision on this.
On top of that, we have a committee in the Parliament that its role is to investigate all the budgetary spendings of the Commission, called Con Committee. Even those people did not have access to the full version of these contracts. I asked all of them. Nobody saw even the redacted one. So clearly, you know, we have an issue here. And I just received a note from a friend of mine in Washington Post today. There was an article published with the title, "In Secret Vaccine Contracts with Governments, Pfizer Took Hardline Input for Profit," reports say. So you know, slowly but surely, this subject apparently seems to be covered by the mainstream media, and we have to use all of our powers and tools at our disposals to get to the bottom of this. Maybe there's nothing wrong in these countries. I don't know, hypothetically speaking.
I doubt it.
But well, let's see first what's in it. Yeah. Then we'll see. Yeah. You know, let's see first what's in these contracts. You know, they have to be fully transparent, especially since it's about, you know, people's money. Mm-hmm. And then we'll make up our minds if these contracts are okay or not. But so far, since they are not providing the full version of the contracts, this is a problem in itself.
Yeah. If it is true that there are no signatures on these powers of attorneys that the individual member states gave the European Union, then I can only imagine that the reason for this is that they didn't get to see the contents of the contract. Who is going to give a power of attorney to an institution like the EU to sign a contract which they have no knowledge of? I mean, the least you can expect, if you give someone a power, you can't give a blank power of attorney. The least you can expect is that they tell you, the Romanian people, the German people, the French people, that they tell you what's in the contract that is to be signed on your behalf. That is the least you can expect. This has nothing to do with transparency. Absolutely nothing.
Yep, totally agree.
And can I ask you this? Do you know when this was decided on, like, was there a lot of pressure or like time pressure? Like, do you know, were you able to ask beforehand? What's this? Can we see?
No, we could not ask anything, because here's the trick that they used. In the month of March 2021, they came up with a proposal for urgent procedure to pass the digital green certificate. So that means that we could not have proper debates, we could not have proper discussions, we could not have, you know, all these things that usually take place when you have to pass such an important law. Their argument was, we are under a pandemic, we have to act fast. Every time when the government says we have to act fast, then that's a problem. Clearly they want to hide something. So we are in this situation right now. So in the March of April, it was proposed to the European Parliament to pass a proposal to have an urgent procedure to pass the green certificate. And, you know, I voted against it. The majority of the MEPs voted in favor of it. Then in the March of April, there was the first discussion, the first vote in the parliament. And in the March, in the month of May or June, beginning of June or so, if I remember correctly, the final version of this regulation was approved in the trilogue, and the parliament had to vote on its final form. Now, here's an issue. According to the Treaty of the European Union and the Treaty of Function of the European Union, you can challenge any such law, I would say regulation, to the European Court, like in 2 months after it was published in the official journal of the European Union. The states can do it directly, but you, as a physical person, for example, or as a juridical person, like an NGO, in order for them to challenge that law, they have to have one of their rights or personal interests violated. So if you look back what happened for the month of June, July, mid-August, they haven't implemented this system for effect. So the law was passed, but it was not applied yet. Mm-hmm. So no one could go in front of a court, of a European court, and claim that their rights are violated. After the time passed, when someone could attack it directly, then it's implemented. So this is where we are right now. So right now, after this legislation, this European legislation was passed up by the parliament, and it's very hard to challenge it in a court at the European level. Now countries, member states of the European Union, are pressured by the Commission, apparently, to impose this green certificate at the national level.
Yeah.
The problem is now, if you go at the national, at the court in your country, and you try to challenge the green certificate, you cannot do it, because this is imposing a law that was passed at the European level. So that system was so well designed that the person is pretty much left without a way to defend his or her rights right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, you know, clearly under Ursula von der Leyen, EU is transitioning from a democracy to tyranny. And this is how a tyranny is. I mean, you have courts. Even in communism, we had courts. You know, we had prosecutors. We had a parliament. We had all these institutions. But, you know, they did not work for the people. So that's the, this is where we are right now.
Yes, this is all about fear. I would like to say we live in some kind of fear games. And fear creates a lot of pressure on anyone, everybody, and creates a lot of guilt. So this reminds me, regarding your question, this also reminds me how Emma made all of these products available.
Exactly.
Yeah, we in Envy Committee had an opportunity to discuss the vaccines with seven CEOs, seven directors of pharmaceutical companies. It was on 25th of February this year. And we were asking them questions, of course, on efficiency. And they were all claiming very high percentages from, I don't know, 85 to, I think one even said 100%, 99%. But now we see it's much, much less, and that they were not telling us the truth. Then I called them out after that, and I asked them, aren't these percentages a little bit too much? Yes, we expected more like 50%, you know, but we have no choice but to trust pharmaceutical companies. I also asked them, are there any independent confirmation of these clinical trials? They said, no, of course not, because not enough time has passed and no other data is available. Once the data is available, we will also take into consideration other data, other studies. So at the moment of approval, there was absolutely nothing known about these vaccines except what was given by the pharmaceutical companies in their own studies on these products. And now we can see that they wrote a lot of things there that simply are not true. We can see that to this day. So I asked them, why are you doing this? Why are you taking the procedure that is not standards? They said, yes, we were under huge pressure from the commission. That's what they said. We were under huge pressure from the commission. And basically everybody expected from us to approve this. So that there was this atmosphere of fear, and there was a lot of pressure, and there was a lot of guilt that was present in the media, all these fear campaigns. So basically, Emma admitted, yeah, we were under huge pressure from the commission. Everybody expected us to approve it, so we did. And 1 year later, here we are.
And can I ask you, the people that now approach you, these other members of parliament and maybe others from administration, or I don't know if you're also approached by, you know, people from other realms, but do they say, you know, I've been thinking about this for a long time and I just didn't know to whom to talk to? Or did they say something like, wow, what you just said now woke me up? You know?
Yes, some of them are approaching us, and even in my case, MEPs and employees of the parliament. And, you know, in their cases, the situation, it's a little bit complicated because they are employees of the parliament. They could be fired. And, you know, we feel for them. That is the reason why we decided to take a public stand and defend them and do everything that we can, you know, to defend everybody, I would say.
Yeah.
And, but what I can say, based on what I see, you know, more and more people are waking up. Nevertheless, we receive hundreds of emails per day from citizens all across the EU. And I have colleagues from other groups that receive emails from their constituents in their countries. And they're asking, well, are you part of this group or not? Do you support them or not? So this is where the citizens also have to play an important role to call their members of the European Parliament and persuade them to join us in this fight. Because at the end of the day, you know, we don't fight for ourselves. We have certain rights, I would say, as MEPs. You know, we could be happy not, you know, with what we have. But it's not about us. It's about the people. Mm-hmm. And we have to do everything in our power to restore democracy, liberty, and pretty much justice in the European Union.
Yeah.
So this is the impression that you are probably the first members of the European Parliament who are voicing this, but this is the impression that many people have, that under Ursula von der Leyen, who got into that spot with, I don't know how this happened, because it was not a democratic way, but she got into the spot, and under her regime, I should say, the EU is turning from a democracy into a totalitarian regime, slowly but surely. Yes. But you're the first one who has voiced this. I know that you are explicitly stating something that many people are afraid is really happening. But it's a good thing that it is finally out in the open, because this will open up many avenues for many people to discuss these matters, because that's the only way to deal with it. We have to talk about these things. We need transparency. We need different opinions to be voiced.
I mean, look, you know, in my case, you know, I'm from Romania. Ivan is from Croatia. We were both under communism. So we know what tyranny is, what the totalitarian regime is. That is the reason we know it, not just from the books. We are young enough, old enough, whatever you want to call it, you know, and we still remember those ugly times, those dark times. The problem is in the West, you know, there was no tyranny since the end of Second World War. So many over there, when they hear the word tyranny or totalitarian regime, they either learn about it or know about it from the history books or from the news, from media outlets, you know, that are talking about China or Russia. They don't know. They haven't personally experienced what the totalitarian system actually is. In our case, we did. This is the reason why, I mean, we have no fear anymore. I mean, it's this is who we are, you know. We've been through this. Our predecessors fought for liberty and freedom, and it's our duty and our call to do it now. And I have to tell you that, you know, based on the reactions that we see from a lot of people around the world, you know, people are waking up, and it's about time, I would say, to take our countries back from these tyrants that are trying to pretty much enslave us, all of us.
Yeah, you can see that it's getting more and more crazy every day. You know, like we just heard the information that in Austria, 10 days lockdown, and then maybe like mandatory vaccination from January on. And in I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but like here, they also just came with some some new regulatory details that, for instance, in the public transportation, it's only 3G. I mean, this is so mean, because obviously that's only aiming at pushing people who cannot afford to take these tests all the time. I mean, obviously, basically no one can afford to do these all the time, to not take public transportation anymore. That's like, you know, cutting them off from everything, from going to the doctors, from going to work, from bringing the children to school. I mean, it's really I have basically no words for this. It's absolutely outrageous. Yeah.
This is madness. These are the fear games I have been talking about. A year and a half ago, I think it was March 2020, remote voting system was implemented in European Parliament, but now they are canceling it. So basically after a year and a half, here we are, 700 people in one room, and they say, well, we are going back to the old work regime. But at the same time, they are telling us, yeah, the virus is very dangerous. We need to go to another lockdown. We need to keep distance, masks, and everything. And then they abandon the remote voting system, and they put 700 of us in one room in the plenary. They did that some days ago. And there is no logic in that, you know?
Yeah.
This is just a form of pressure to get vaccinated. Like everything else.
That's it.
That's the only idea.
So also from the members of parliament, they ask you to be then 3G in order to participate in this, you know, to be either like vaccinated or like
recovered
or 3G. Tested. So they force you to be to vote in person, but then you have to be at least tested.
Yes, of course. This is the idea. They are doing this simultaneously. At the same time, they are implementing 3G using digital green certificate. And at the same time, they are canceling the remote voting system and the remote working system. So
this is all designed to make to pressure people into getting the shots, but those who haven't agreed to it yet will not agree. I know many people in other countries, even here in this country, who are simply getting vaccine passports for money. And I know it's true in many Eastern European countries. So this is how many people try to avoid risking their lives, because that's what it boils down to. It's risking your life after almost a year of vaccinations. We can see what damage these vaccinations, which are not vaccinations, really do. We can see the many people. We're going to talk to someone who is a victim of these vaccinations in about a half an hour or so. We have spoken with lots of people who, of course, know people because who suffered serious damage after vaccinations, but twice. This is the second time we're going to talk to someone who himself suffered serious physical damage because of the shots. So this is what needs to be exposed at all costs. We have to get the truth out so that more and more people will get in touch with you, with us, with everyone here, and more people learn what is really at stake. This is not about a jab. It's about a life and death decision, potentially at least.
I think it's very interesting, you know, that they do this, like luring you into like playing along and at the same time pressuring you. You know, like here they, Wolfgang, I don't know if that was voted also for this, that now for a COVID case in the hospitals, I think it's that the hospitals can get, so meaning someone tested at some point tested positive during his stay in the hospital. They get like 4,500 through or up to 9,500 in addition. Wolfgang, do you know?
They do a systematic institutional corruption with all those people who are following them and doing what they want. Mm-hmm. They pay the hospitals lots of money if they make a PCR test, which is with a high CT value, which is positive, and for each case, they get 4,500 to 9,500 euro extra if they make a COVID-19 diagnosis. The doctors, if they give the injection, they used to get 20 euros, which is a lot for just an injection. But now, because the doctors are more and more doctors hesitate to do it, they offer them 28 euros for the injection. And the nurses who leave the hospital because they have to take the jab, they are afraid of it. They don't want it. They are now running short of stuff in the hospitals, and it's a very bad situation. So they want to give the nurses and the doctors who stay in those intensive care wards, they give them extra money that they stay there, that they follow them. So they just bribe everyone who does this nonsense, and to keep the whole fear machine running. And I think it's about institutional corruption. It's a very important way. Just pay, and you will have people who follow you. They paid the politicians. They gave them a career. So it's all about corruption. It's they buy power with money, and this we call corruption.
Yes, if I may add, some 10 years ago, there was a huge scandal in Croatia. Pfizer was bribing Croatian doctors on a huge scale. If I remember correctly, they described the situation, the prosecutors, if I recall correctly, that the Croatian health system is endangered if everybody who is involved would be prosecuted. So this was very huge some 10 years ago, and it was on the headlines of many media. So people still remember what happened, and many of these corrupt doctors are still here. So we need to be careful.
we should have a political discussion why there is so little corruption in the Swedish health system and why there is so much corruption in other health systems, for instance, in Eastern Europe and in Germany now too. It has to do with what we pay for, and how we reward people to do what we need. And you know, if you have a doctor who just earns a little bit, and he earns most of his income with corruption, holding his hand under the table, this is a very bad health system. So, I think we should think what we pay for, and it's a big discussion. But this would be worthwhile to be done.
Yeah, this is about, you're right, this is about institutional corruption, institutionalized corruption. It is not really about money, because the people, those few psychopaths who are running the show have more than enough money, but they're using money to bribe people, to bribe politicians, doctors, lawyers, judges, the media. Yeah. Yes. And that's what is so corrosive.
If you buy the whole institution, you needn't bribe the single clerks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it works.
I mean, what is hopeful, or what gives me hope, is that, you know, really more and more people are waking up. Yesterday we had an interview with a whistleblower from, like, it's a basically a nurse from a chest pain unit. And he said, this person said, he said that there's so many more people coming in now with, like, myocarditis or like heart rhythm issues, you know, younger people. And it's really, like, very much on the increase. And, you know, others who work there see this now as well. And they formed a group of not only from this specific hospital, but also from others. And this group is growing members. I think it's a Telegram group or some other social media group. And it's growing by like 500 people a day. So it's like a huge development that, you know, people just say, I'm not going to take this any longer. I can't play along anymore. And it's so dangerous for the people who, you know, go there to the vaccination and are not aware of what they're doing, really, and it has to be brought to light. And that's what these people are now really wanting to do.
But he also said that he's aware of 300 cases of adverse reactions after vaccinations. And to his knowledge, not a single one of them was reported to our German equivalent of theirs. Not a single one. What does this tell us? It tells us that the guests, that only between 1 and 10% of the real cases are being reported, that there's heavy underreporting. This guess is correct. It's probably even less than 1% if you look at what this man told us. Okay. Well,
I have one thing. We have those single employees in the hospitals and in the medical staff, but there are unions, you know. And I was very happy to hear that the union of the Austrian soldiers, that they were trying to help the soldiers not to get the vaccination, not to be forced to do it. So this is one good example of a union being engaged in fighting for the rights of the employees. But where are all the big unions in Germany who have to care for a good working situation when they see all the staff leaving because they are afraid? Why don't they show up? Why don't they say a word? It's horrible.
They have all.
Can I add something here?
Sure.
Here's something interesting that anyone can see in the parliament. At the level of the European Parliament, I mean, at the level of the political groups, surprisingly, the one on the right are the one fighting more and stronger, louder, for the rights of the people and of the workers than the one on the left.
Yeah, it's difficult with right and left. We have lost orientation.
Like the Social Democrats or the Greens or whatever, as groups should be the one taking care more of the working class, because that was their campaign message for decades, you know, for over 100 years. So this is the surprising part, you know, yes. Us on the right, who are more like, you know, onto business side and, you know, all that, are the one, you know, taking the stand now and those on the left are supporting this madness. You know, this is inexplicable from my perspective as being a member of a conservative group. But now hearing what is happening in Germany and in Austria and in other places where unions are not taking a stand to protect pretty much their people, you know, the one that are paying their taxes, you know, or whatever you call them, you know, fees to these unions, you know. I mean, you know, this was planned in detail, you know. This is not accident. You know, you don't have courts anymore, you don't have unions anymore, you don't have parliaments anymore, you don't have, I mean, it's like, you know, this was done in purpose. You know, I don't know if they came up with this plan before this pandemic or not, but what is happening right now,
it's more than 20 years. More than they had some exercises some 10 years ago, some 15 years ago. They exercised this. They prepared.
We spoke with a person, an ex-Marine from the United States, also very well connected person, excellent connection still with the military in the United States. And he explained to us. And he took part in this exercise, Dark Winter. That was in 2001. So that's 20 years ago. That's how early they started real concrete plans for what they now rolled out, which is a plandemic. There's no doubt about it. This has nothing to do with health. This has a lot to do with death and destruction.
I mean, there is also resistance from the left. I mean, basically, I'm a former Green and you know, a Social Democratic Party voter. You know, I was never involved in any party, but you know, and that's why I'm completely I'm flabbergasted why they're not, you know, up on their feet and screaming for the rights of the workers. I mean,
well,
what's going on?
It's easy to see. The guy who runs the Social Democrats now, and who is or was our, I think he's now our acting Secretary of Finance. This guy is involved in all of the financial scandals that you can imagine, in each and every one of them. Yeah, Cum-Ex, wie heißt das andere da? Everything.
And his predecessors were already.
Yeah, true. So that, it's all about corruption. That's what it boils down to. But now we can see through this, and more people are beginning to understand. That's the good news.
Yeah, that's good. Let's keep the fight up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Christian and Ivan, I want to thank you a lot.
Yes.
I'm very happy that politicians like you are there. And I was a little bit nostalgic because, you know, I was member of the Council of Europe of the Parliamentary Assembly. And I have observed that such politicians as you are, they became less and less.
Yeah.
And now I'm full of hope that this moves in the other direction, and I wish you lots of success. You're very good examples for how a politician should work. Thank you very much.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Thank you both. We will.
I'm jumping in. Excuse me.
Go ahead, Alexandra.
I haven't introduced myself, but I just want to congratulate you as well and to thank you, Christian, for your for just standing straight and be yourself in a difficult environment. Thank you.
But it's us, you know, there are more of us, and the group is growing in the European Parliament, and we will take this fight all the way to the end, and we will do everything in our power to, as we said, you know, to restore liberty and democracy in Europe.
MEPS Alliance for Liberty. Yes,
that's what this is about. Well, thank you guys. Let us stay in touch and make something bigger out of this. It's so important for us all to be connected.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.